lights out, we're underway. Motorsport Republic of Podcast.
D Shavs, we are back, bro.
Feels good, mate. We've had a whirlwind of a couple of weeks. It's always nice to be home in the base, though.
Mate, it's very, very, very nice to be home in the base.
Yeah, we had a great time. Phillip Island was wild. Sepang was even wilder. And we've been back a week, so still got the suntan, which is good.
Yeah, definitely do. Thank you for everyone coming up to us and saying g'day at the pub or at the track. It was, we're actually taken back.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, we didn't get a chance to talk about this last week.
Sorry for the last pod. We're all fucking brain dead.
Brain dead, and also the mics were, well, we couldn't bring our equipment. Carry on only. James went the cheap option. Booked the cheap option, unfortunately.
Fuck off. No one believes you.
No. You actually flew this premium airline. I wasn't with the budget airline. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that just proves my point.
thanks, guys. And yeah, Phillip Isle was so good to meet so many people and like so many like-minded people and
people from different ages. Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. We had an unbelievable. It just gets better and better that weekend. Seriously. And now we're doing this, meeting some really cool people. We had a podcast with, you know, Gavin Emmett leading up to the weekend, and then, you know, we have obviously some MotoGP riders that we'll talk about throughout the chat tonight. So yeah, it was unbelievable. And then Sepang was great. Highly recommend if anyone's thinking about going. It's a bit of a trip from KL to the track every day. That's the only thing that was the negative. It's just a long time in the car, probably 3 hours in the car a day to get to the track. With Trump being in town as well, a lot of the roads were blocked. But yeah, definitely we'll do it again.
Yeah, it was, if you're looking for just premium experience of watching motorcycles, Sepang's probably up there.
I totally agree. If you were there to sit on a grandstand and you want the best experience that we've ever had, I think it's definitely the best.
Phillip Island is still amazing though, because you still are so close and you can see them wide open, but we're not used to them banging down all the gears and then accelerating out and hearing all the sound through reverberating through the stadium.
And the weather was you know, cooler than what we anticipated, because we were promised some shockingly hot temperatures, and it wasn't until the Sunday. But in that grandstand covered, it was a great spot to watch bikes.
It really was. It was a great time. What was one of your highlights? Looking back a week later, what was one of your highlights?
Obviously just the group of blokes we went with are just hilarious, and talk about all walks of life, you know, like Marky Mark, Adrian from Motor Heaven, Mark Danby, Bandana Man, Maddie couldn't even name one MotoGP rider. He just comes along for the ride
and then sends us news that I don't even know about in the group chat. Unbelievable.
He does. I mean, I think walking the track on Thursday, I mean, I know it's cliche, but going to those classic spots, you know, Simoncelli's where he passed away, and you know the alleged kick, which we'll talk about tonight because obviously the documentary came out. We're going to save us. We've got a special episode coming at the end of the year, Rossi versus Marquez. But that famous section. I mean, the track is just spectacular. We probably haven't been to a lot of racetracks in our life. I mean, outside of Australia, we've only really gone to Buriram or Sepang. But yeah, for me, it just the pictures on the, you know, on the TV, it just doesn't do it justice.
It was a weird one because we've both grown up watching it since the 90s, and then to finally be there and like walk it was the most surreal experience ever. It was so strange. And you don't realize how undulating it actually is.
Turn one and then turn two to three.
Isn't wild.
It's wild because you see them come out of that corner and you're like, wait, did they just take a weird line out of there? And you realize it when you're there because it's severely downhill. Like, you know, if you threw a bloody ball down there, it'd be flying down that hill.
Flying.
Yeah. So, but dude, I mean, like, we had a great time together. That was my highlight.
It was good. Yeah. I'm with you. I think my highlight was still the track walk. And I think hearing the sound of all the bikes.
Yeah. It was not about the back of the pits. Like,
we would have been there for 5% of that weekend.
If anyone's thinking, oh, I've got to get to the back of the pits for
Sepang.
It's
actually not worth it.
You'd rather be in the mall in the center. You'd rather be in the grandstand because there's not much happening in the pits. And the only people in the back of the pits are the riders, the teams, and all the top corporate personalities.
You can't just buy a paddock pass.
So it's not like Australia. Australia's got a vibe in the paddock. You know, people getting photos, signatures. It was nothing like that in Sepang.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And how good was the mall?
The mall was really cool. Really, really cool. And
if a couple of furries in there, literal furries, yeah. Which might make the blog for Curdy.
The blog. Yeah, Curdy's got his headphones in, he can't hear. A lot of
he's
people,
shaking his head.
A lot of people asking about Curtis yeah. the last couple of weeks as well. So Curtis is back behind the, you know, obviously we can't reveal his
is
face.
Is he mic'd up? Is Curdy mic'd up?
Curdy's mic'd up, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Say good day, Curdy, come on. The fans haven't heard you in a while.
Quick question.
Go on.
What's the age rating right now?
It's R. Say whatever.
Hello,
it's a podcast. We can say whatever we want. We are our own bosses.
6 minutes and 34 seconds, Kirsch. You better bleep that one out. yeah. Oh, I suppose, yeah. It was just an awesome couple of weeks. Yeah. And yeah, it's good to come back, though. It's good to get back into the groove of things. Come back and sitting here right now. James and I are reflecting before the pod. You know, it's just good to be back. Normal. No, we don't have anything to look forward to now because we're looking forward to that couple of weeks for so long. But, you know, we'll keep getting the content out, eh?
Well, all the boys are looking to go to Mandalika. So I reckon Mandalika's on the cards.
Yeah, we're going to tick it off, don't we? We're just going to tick off different Grand Prix every year, I think.
Marky Mark's already booked one of our mates. He's already booked Motegi. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's...
But that's a man with a strut of no financial worries.
I think we spoke about that. It was my favorite off-track moment for last week. So, all right. So tonight's episode, guys, we are going to talk about the opinions. So big things that have happened this year in the world of motorsport. Most of them are going to be MotoGP related, some F1, some supercars, but our opinions on things. So we're going to go through, we've got about 10 to 15 different sort of questions or statements, and we're going to go over and we're going to figure out, you know, what's right and what's wrong.
Yep, 100%. Mine are mostly all MotoGP for all the MotoGP fans out there. There's obviously no racing on this weekend, which has been a good little break anyway. And obviously we've got Portimao, which we might do a little bit of a preview anyway.
Yeah, Portimao and Brazil F1. Obviously that championship has got so the closest it can possibly come. So hopefully some exciting racing coming the last 4 weeks of the F1 season and then the last 2 weeks of the MotoGP season.
Exactly right. And still got Moto2 to... you know, cover a championship there, but we'll maybe cover that just after our opinions
yes.
as well. And then going into our Patreon, we are doing our extra chats straight after this with more of our top tier opinions and hot takes. Don't worry, we've still got all your hot takes for everyone as well.
Of course.
Some good ones this weekend. There was a fucking heap.
Good. I love to hear that.
I couldn't get through them all, unfortunately, to everyone out there.
All right, you take it away, James. What's the first opinion piece?
Number one for me is I am sure that Yamaha won't be fast in the new rules.
Okay.
So in 2027, I just don't think they are. They're not showing me anything that's going to prove to me that they're developing fast enough. And I know they're going to a brand new bike, but then they're still going to nail this brand new bike. And then you have to develop fast and quickly to keep up with like your likes of Aprilia, Ducati, KTM, and Honda. Honda is the one for me that's developing the fastest. They've obviously got the concessions to do it. But Yamaha, they're just not showing me anything. Now, I've read during the week that Yamaha's V4, you might find this interesting, is... They haven't opened up that engine fully, so it's not getting max power out of it, and that's why when we were in Sepang, you could see it getting eaten down the straight, and that's the reason why. But if I was Ducati, I think that thing would be full ball. They would have just got it off the production line, not the production line, but you know, and then straight onto the Sepang, and then just given it everything.
I don't understand that at all. Like, you should be up full ball. You should be at 110%. See where the limit is. You know what Marc Marquez does every practice session? He goes and sees what the limit is.
I know.
Not holding something back.
Yeah.
So, for me, it just shows to me the conservativeness of the Japanese manufacturer. Now, take Honda away. They've done some amazing things this year coming back into the realm. But for me, it's just not the way you do MotoGP, the pinnacle of two-wheel racing. No. I hope, James, I hope and pray that we're wrong, but I totally agree with you. I think they're going to be out the back in last place for the next at least 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, look, they really have to fix their issues. And traditionally, Yamaha as a whole, they've struggled for a long time. They had their era with Valentino Rossi and Jorge Lorenzo, and that's amazing. And they did a lot of success through there, through realistically their riders. But Yamaha's never been a bike to be able to be the forefront of development where Honda and Ducati have been. Mm. It's never been that case. Like Yamaha was only turned into Yamaha once Valentino Rossi turned that whole project around with Jeremy Burgess. But before that, it was all Honda. And through those 500cc days, like through the 90s, Max Biaggi maybe, but it never took him to a world title either.
Yeah, it's interesting. The modern MotoGP fan would be from, say, a Rossi era. So you think, you know, Yamaha's had heaps of success, but realistically, it really started around Rossi's era, didn't it?
Yeah, I think the last person to win a title before Rossi on a Yamaha was, correct me if I'm wrong, was Wayne Rainey, I'm pretty sure. Curdy, you got something to say?
I was just thinking, like, was probably last year or this year, we were thinking Honda was kind of there, but not also there, so to speak. And it hasn't taken them that long to bloody get to the point where they're actually really good.
Bro, 100%.
So I wouldn't be surprised if next year, if Yamaha's still at the same spot, or if next year they've pulled something out of the deck of cards that they've got and actually produced something good, because it hasn't taken Honda long. Like the last 2-3 years, we've all been pretty much saying they're at the back of the bloody leaderboard. And now they're actually competing pretty well, surprisingly, but they're not the Aprilia or the Ducati, so I wouldn't count out Yamaha just yet if they get the same concessions as Honda.
Well, they do, and they've had the same concessions as Honda for the same amount of time, but they just haven't made it work. And with Honda, I shared that post today on our Instagram, or yesterday. This time last year, they were on like 47 points. Now they're on 241 points or whatever it is. You know, I'm butchering those numbers, but it's around about those numbers. So the leap they've made is, it's they're the perfect A and B test, those two, is Honda and Yamaha. And it's always normally going to be Honda the one that prevails. They've got more racing in their DNA.
Curtis hit the nail on the head with concessions. I mean, that's been the big change for the last couple of years, and I think it's working quite well. And then going forward with the new regs, I think it's going to be even more important. I don't know. I don't know, because Curtis is right. A year ago, we were saying the same thing about Honda. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. And now, you know, we've got such quick memories here in motorsport, don't we?
We do.
So who knows? I mean, I'm really Switzerland on the fence on this one. But as I say every week, someone's got to finish at the back. Like, you know, and for me, Ducati's not going to be, Aprilia's not going to be, KTM's not going to be, you know. There's not a lot left.
It's funny. A lot of what we're talking about leads straight into all my other points. But go into your point, mate.
All right. So big thing this year is the Moto 3 and Moto 2 championships. Is downgrading the Moto 3 and Moto 2 championships the right move?
So you're saying if you've won 9 world titles and one of them's Moto 3 and one of them's Moto 2, they've won 7.
Correct. And James, our whole lives, I have been saying this, our whole lives, I've said, he's not a 9-time world champion. I mean, you don't say a Formula 2 guy, yes, they go to every round, blah, 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 blah. But you're a world champion, yes, in that category, but you're not a MotoGP 9-time world champion.
It's still Grand Prix racing, though, and it's still prototype racing. I still believe it should be, if you're Valentino Rossi or Marc Marquez, a 9-time world champion, because you are... Yes, you are going to every round. You are in the same format.
For now,
you're right. In Formula 2 or Formula 3, you've got all this other crazy stuff where money's involved and then there's reverse grids. I can understand that, but you watch Moto 3, Moto 2. Everyone watches Moto 3. Most people watch Moto 3, Moto 2, then Moto GP. Like, I still think I'm still just a traditionalist with that.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's funny. It couldn't have happened a better time for Marquez, because it's more than a number. I mean, that was just the best celebration, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very clever.
Because it was clever in so many different ways, because obviously the injury and all this. Yeah, I like this. I think it should be you're a 2-time Moto 3 world champion or a 1-time Moto 2 champion, but you're known as a 5-time MotoGP world champion.
But we've spoken about this as well. If you're Max Biaggi, he's won, I think, 5 250 World CC titles, but no one calls him a world champion. But then if you win that Grand Prix, one major
he's
one...
He's a six-time.
Do you know what I mean? So that's kind of weird as well.
Yeah, it is. You're right. Jimmy, we always talk about the OG fans on this podcast, but what about the OG sponsors?
Mate, the OG sponsor, motoheaven.com.au T-Shaves. They've been with us from the start. The absolute star. How good's that?
They're amazing. Amazing organization.
They are the best. All orders go in the draw to win $250 gift card every month, T-Shav. So you can spend anything at motorheaven.com.au and you automatically go in the draw to win a $250 gift card every single month.
Amazing. There's no excuses there.
Nope. It's Australia's largest range online And we challenge the fans to use the website. The usability of the website is the absolute best. Even you and I can find the tools or the helmets or whatever we need for our motorcycle.
Guys, they have the best parts finder in the business. And it's also free shipping over
$150.
Awesome.
Head to motoheaven.com.au. They are the OG sponsors for our OG fans. So but none of it makes sense.
No one will ever be, from now on, this day forward, will be more than a like three-time champion in the lower classes. It just doesn't happen.
Nah, it doesn't happen because everyone moves up.
Everyone moves up.
Like it's rare to see someone try and defend a Moto 125cc or a Moto 3 championship. Like I remember Tom Luthy, tried to defend it. He stayed down. Gabor Telmashi, a Hungarian world champion, ran the number one. I think on the old Aspar 125. Fuck, that memory is pretty good, huh?
You're right.
But it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen at all. Now the prize is just too big to go to MotoGP. The money's there.
Yeah. The money. You're right. Because back then at Moto 2 or 250, you may get paid a really good wage, and the MotoGP might have been a little bit more 500 series, but now it would be astronomically more.
Oh,
which is great for the sport. I mean, I think money coming in, Liberty Media coming in, money, it's going to be a good thing for everyone.
Yeah, it's still a good thing. But you got to think, like, bro, remember back in the... Like, there was riders paying for their rides, or there'd be riders... I remember seeing some of the salaries, and I was like, 50 grand for a... I'm just saying a name here, James Ellison on a WCM. Mm. Maybe, probably paid for his ride.
Mm.
And then there was Valentino Rossi at like $5 million.
Yeah.
Like that. And then what's the mechanics making?
Well, we talked about this. Did we talk about this last week?
We spoke about it in the meeting thing.
Yeah.
But
they said the average wage in the MotoGP paddock or Moto2, Moto3, it would be less than a full-time McDonald's worker in Europe. You know, it's not glamorous.
No.
You know, you're seeing these guys, you know, cleaning, packing, putting a bike back together and just jumping on an economy flight for 17 hours. I'm like, God, you were a little kid. Oh, I'd love to be in the paddock. How good would that be? I couldn't think of anything fucking worse than being a Moto 3 or 2 mechanic.
For the flyaways, maybe it'd be a bit better for Europe if you've got trucks or whatever.
True. Yeah.
That might be a bit better, which is a big part of the season, but... Like, it's only becoming worse. Like, you've got, like, South American, North American rounds now, all of Asia. It's brutal.
It's brutal, yeah. It's, and some of the accommodation and stuff, I mean, I'm sure... A team probably carries 30 to 40 people in the MotoGP and probably half that Moto2, half that again in Moto3, I would say. And, you know, it's a lot of people to put up in hotels, especially, like, we went to Buriram. It's a tiny city. Lombok, tiny city. You'd be staying in backpackers, I reckon, some of those, that Lombok area.
Well, we stayed in not the flashest hotel in Buriram, and we loved it. When we got done with that joint, it was a fucking pigsty.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll cross the road from Lenovo Ducati and, Factory also, Billiard.
And Trackhouse.
Trackhouse, that's right. We had breakfast with Davide Brivio next
week. Yeah. And they had the golf. I saw the golf shirts for the first time, which you finally bought.
Yeah.
When we're in Sepang, which is awesome.
Had a few messages about that one.
Oh, very good. Very good. Next one.
Which one should I choose? I'm going to say that the gap going on from my one, the gap is as close as ever in MotoGP. The only factor is Mark. So I think if you take Mark Marquez out of it,
and Chandra. both end of the scale.
Yeah, both end of the scale. It's a good A-B and test again. Then anyone can win. No, I shouldn't say anyone can win, but there's such a high probability of a crazy result when they're not there, whether it's Bez winning, Alex Marquez winning, Bagnaia winning, Rael Fernandez winning, whoever it is. And Pedro Acosta, like... The manufacturers are closing up. Like, so everyone is closing up the Ducati. We can see that. Aprilia definitely are. Their satellite teams are. Grassini and like VR46, they're all fast. I understand that. And then you've still got KTM, who are coming. Pedro Acosta is the man leading that charge, and we can clearly lead that charge. And it's a shame about Maverick Viñales because how fast he was to the start of the season. But I still think the gap is as close as ever now. It's just the only factor is Mark Marquez has just got everyone's measure and then some.
Yeah, I agree. And the other one for me, and I keep harping on it, is just the inconsistency of Pecco Bagnaia. We've never seen this before where a guy can dominate a weekend, Motegi, then finish dead last, and then dominate a weekend as well, and then finish dead last. And then probably could have won Sepang
would
as well.
Would have won Sepang.
With the puncture. And if a lot of people didn't know this, he got to the puncture about four laps before he actually retired. It wasn't an instant puncture off. So that's when he sort of started, you know, letting the gap to Alex. But yeah, I mean, that's the other factor for me. I mean, that was the big thing at the start of the year, was these two times of the sport going at it, and it just hasn't eventuated at all.
Mm.
It's amazing. And then Bezzecchi's come up and... Yeah, going off topic a bit, but yeah.
No, that's all right. But I think the manufacturers in itself, with the concessions and like Honda coming, the gap is as close as ever. Like, bro, in the two flyaways, Honda's podiums.
Mm.
Well, in two out of three or four flyaways, Honda's podiums. Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I think, again, we're getting to the end of these regulations, and the ECUs and all the electronics on board these bikes, we're just getting to the peak, aren't we?
We are, and then...
And that's why it's so close.
Probably with aero... Like, everything's changing, though, with aerodynamics and engine development. Like, I can understand that. And we are getting closer because, yeah, with all these concessions, again, like, the gap is just getting smaller and smaller and smaller because Ducati can't do anything. They're kind of stagnant.
Yeah, and we were talking to some people in the paddock, and they said, like, that last corner of Sepang, you just throw it in there and you V-shape... You come out of the corner, you just put a full ball on, and the electronics do the rest. I mean, that's just becoming... That's why it's getting so, so close in this sport. Where Marquez is finding the time is going to be under braking in mid-corner, isn't it?
Aerodynamics does still help that. And then you can even see people's riding styles and how they suit their bike. Like watching Wang Mir, he was like... I was watching him through practice and him just trying to get his body positioning right out of that last corner.
You know,
it was changing a lot.
Yeah.
So still riding styles and adapting to the bike. And a perfect example of that is Marco Bezzecchi from the start of the year this year. So it's still more rider than you think it is. And that just proves of Marc Marquez.
Well, this comes on to my point, James, which is perfect. Technology over talent in MotoGP. Is it taking over?
No, not yet. Not yet. If you asked me maybe at the start of the year, I would have said yes, but I think the proof of Bez working around the bike with Aprilia and helping develop the bike, which still was talents, Raul Fernandez winning.
Fermín Aldeguer is the interesting one for me because he's a rookie and he's come in and he's been a little bit inconsistent, but much better than what I thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
How good that Ducati actually is. He can come onto that bike and be up in the podium positions.
Mm.
That shows me that the bike has taken over because a rookie on the manufacturer coming to MotoGP, other than Marc Marquez, coming in doing wonderful things on their bike. I don't know. Go back to my point with the electronics. I'm watching Mir, right, coming out of in the wet, practice two. You can just see he comes out of the corner, puts full ball on, and you can hear the engine. You can hear the traction control working. I mean, I think it is. I think we go back 10 years ago and it was... maybe 70% rider, 30% bike, and now I think it's really flipped.
You reckon it's 70% bike?
Yep, 30% rider.
Nah, I don't agree with that.
I mean, Raul Fernandez is winning races, for God's sake, James.
Yeah, for sure.
He's done nothing for 3 years and he comes and wins a race.
I know, it's wild, but that Trackhouse Aprilia is definitely not the best bike on the grid either.
Well, some say the Aprilia is the best bike on the grid this year.
But Fermín Aldeguer, yes, would be... is doing a lot better on a GP24 than if he was on a Yamaha.
Mm. Or a GP25.
Yeah, maybe even a GP25. Mm. So there is still... It's still... A bike still is a lot. And Marc Marquez, I guess, is proving that after leaving Honda to go to Ducati. But it's still not everything. But, you know, if you're Quartararo, fuck, man. Like, yeah. You can't be on that Yamaha.
No. It's interesting. I had a lot of messages come through. And this goes against my point. If Marc Marquez was on this year's Honda, would he have done anything in the championship? And a lot of people, he would have won. I still don't think he would have been winning races. I mean, he's amazing how good he is. But would you really see him winning races?
He would have won maybe one or two.
Mm.
Because Wang Mir is podium twice. He would have won at least Sachsenring.
Yeah.
But then again, he probably could have just been sending himself to the moon again. I don't know. It's too hard to tell.
It is. It's if my grandma had wheels, she'd be a bike. You know, that sort of situation.
It's a good one, though.
Yeah.
It's definitely a good one. Number three it is for me, isn't it? Pedro Acosta.
I haven't been numbering them,
bro. Oh, sorry, bro. I've got them numbered. Pedro Acosta has now overperformed in 2025.
Yeah, James, we're watching him on live in Sepang, and I'm thinking, and I've been on his case all year. I'm thinking, you know, I think...
You know what? You've been on his case for 2 years.
2 years. I think he's been like a little bit, you know, I think... What's the word I'm looking for here, James?
Harsh?
Well, yeah, I think I've been a little bit harsh, and... Yes, the hype's around him, but like, has he really shown it? But for me, that was the best race I've seen him do. So paying up the ass. Obviously got lucky in the end with the puncture, but to stay there all, you know, for 15 laps,
yeah. You
know, in that heat. Remember the heat as well? You know, and obviously KTM's known to have that terrible tire wear on the rear.
On a track that destroys tires.
Destroys tires, and he's up the ass of the Ducati. Then he actually fucking puts a little bit of time into Alex. Now, Alex might have been coasting by the end, but he put a little bit of time in. I'm thinking, geez, that's a bloody good ride. You know, ride for me, one of the rides of the season.
Yeah, 100%. He's now got multiple podiums, sprint podiums. He is the one making that KTM work. Again, it's hard because there's no Maverick Vinales there, and he was probably the first person to do it. But I think he is doing everything he can and more with what he's got.
Bastianini had a great race. He went from, I think, 18th or 19th to 7th or 6th. Amazing race, but you got to qualify.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's KTM's kryptonite right now, is qualifying as well. They just can't put a heater in.
Yeah, you have to qualify well. I mean, it's just so important, especially these big fucking fat bikes, you know, you have to. So that's where he's got to change. And yes, late.
It's hard to say, isn't it? I don't know why. Late race pace
is there, but it means nothing if you're 10th and 11th with 3 laps to go. So
yeah, exactly right. But I think he's definitely overperformed now in 2025. But he needs to have a massive 2026. If he isn't winning races next year, he's gone.
What? Gone to another manufacturer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gone. Yeah. And he said it's not about the money. Came out and said
it's
not
about
the money.
Yeah, I saw the article. Not about money. It's, you know.
He wants to win. Dudes are, they're all killers.
He's got an aura about him, Pedro, and following him around for a couple of weeks. Bloody hell. Following him around for a couple of weeks in the paddock here. You know, guys walk around with aura and he's got aura. Mm. You know, he's the next, if he's not already, the next big thing in the MotoGP paddock. So,
yeah,
he's exciting to see what he can do in the future. And it's really exciting for us for the next few years to see him grow. David Alonso come into the main game. Marc Marquez to stay around for a little bit longer. It's a really exciting time.
Yeah, it's a very Spanish time.
It is, yeah. Or Colombian.
Yeah. Or Brazilian.
Yeah, exactly.
What's your next one, big dog?
All right. Should the Australian MotoGP round stay at Phillip Island?
Yes. I'm always going to say yes to this. Obviously, I'm always going to say yes to this. Just to bring up Adrian from Moto Heaven, he was obviously with us for Sepang.
And I don't know why that's funny.
Because I was thinking, like, you know, we brought our sponsor along.
Yeah. Well, it's part of, if you're a sponsor, you get to come.
That's right.
Yeah, that's part of the deal.
And we met a lot of people from, if we met an Aussie in Perth, if we met an Aussie in Sepang, they were from Perth.
Yes.
And Adrian would always ask him, so have you gone to Phillip Island? And every single answer was, fuck no.
Yeah, it's so expensive. It's cheaper to come here. It's shorter flight, et cetera, et cetera.
And he would put the spiel on. What do you mean? It's your home race. Yeah. You got to go. Like, what are you doing? It's the best event you can go to. Yeah. It's amazing. You go to cows, you get a house, you go to the pub. You're so close to the bikes and the action. And everything he's saying is so completely
true. We met some Aussies. He's like rubbing his hands together. Here we go. I'm up, boys.
Yeah, the spiel was happening. He even gave the spiel to Listy at work.
Good. So yeah, he needs a kick up the ass, Listy.
So,
newborn.
What was my point?
Your point is that the Australian Grand Prix is a great event and Aussies need to go to the Australian Grand Prix and not tall poppy syndrome it like we have been.
Yes. And there's a little bit of West Coast, East Coast. There's a bit of a rivalry there if you're, you know, from the UK or US listening. But the Australian Grand Prix is still, I think, the best event that I've personally been to.
Yeah. I definitely think it should stay. We love it. It's the best weekend of the year. Yes, they need to do things to facilities to make them up to standard, but it doesn't really affect us.
bro, it doesn't affect anyone in GA.
Yeah.
So when people talk about the facilities, if you're in GA, you have no right to say the facilities, because there's nothing, it doesn't affect you. It's only just the shitty toilets in the in the back of the
paddock.
The
lack of toilets is the problem.
And it's more for the riders.
The riders, the media, because there's no toilet in the media center, which is wild. Like, the media, you have to go down. I mean, it's not a big deal, but, you know, we're in, obviously, in every other country, I'm assuming there is. Going back to your point, people from Perth, I get it why they go to, like, Malaysia, though. I'd seriously still get it. I didn't want to say this to Adrian because I'd get a... the spiel would have come onto me. I'm flying to Melbourne 4.5 hours. I'm driving 2 hours down to Philippi. And yes, it's a great event, but they're flying the same amount of time to get to Malaysia. It doesn't cost as much. And then they get an overseas holiday as well, which is completely different to where they're used to in Perth. And I'm like, I get it. I do get it, you know?
Okay, but yeah, you can do that. But you still should go to your home Grand Prix.
You shouldn't badmouth it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm not fucking going there. It's shit. You know, which a lot of people do.
But how good is it going onto the islands, which is so different to staying in KL or Buriam, where it's like a hub of MotoGP.
Yep.
There's MotoGP. And like, we're talking to these people from Perth and like, we're like, bro, there's like all these pubs here. There's MotoGP stores in there. Like, what do you mean? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
All bikes. They had no idea of anything outside of the actual racetrack.
The cows part of it.
Makes it.
Makes it. It's amazing.
And you can walk around the whole track.
Yeah.
There's not many places where you can do that either.
No, Sepang, that main mall center. If you've got a ticket there, you're not moving from there.
No.
You're going under the tunnel, under the track to go to the pits, back to the thing. You're not going around the track. So, yeah, there's rumors. So the rumors are starting because the contract is up with Philip Island next year for MotoGP. Liberty Media coming in. You can just imagine these big American guys coming down to Phillip Island going, what the fuck's happening down here? Like, we don't...
Big dogs?
Big dogs are like, why are we coming here? You know, the crowd's not that good.
Getting better.
It's getting better, and also it was the best crowd we've had. The facilities are crap. It's a long way from fucking Europe. It's not, you know, all this stuff that they're going to be thinking in their heads. But they won't experience the cows. They don't experience the, how good is this? Everyone's on the island, you know, that event. They're not experiencing that. They're coming in from a back of a board meeting, you know what I mean? So I just hope and pray that they just keeps that, you know, that niche thing about Phillip Island. They're building a new track down in Avalon, which, you know, it's not going to have any soul. The Bend's a great circuit. Yes, Adelaide, we know the Bend's a great circuit, but like, let's be honest, it's not going to be anywhere near as good as Phillip Island. Phillip Island's the best circuit in the world. Everyone says that. And where else do you go? Eastern Creek, been there, done that. Queensland, one raceway. Nah.
No, absolutely not. It's Phillip Island. It's 100% has to be Phillip Island. You talk about Avalon. You go down the fucking Geelong Freeway, whatever it is, to get down there. It's one way in, one way out. Yeah. You think the traffic's bad in Phillip Island for MotoGP? It's 100 times worse for that. Anyone from Melbourne knows about the Royal, the air show.
Yeah.
It's a fucking 5-hour delay.
We don't go to the air show because you're stuck in the car you for can't. So long.
Yeah. I went there as a kid and every year I see the delays. I'm like, I'm not doing that.
No.
I don't have enough. I don't have, my autism doesn't let me
do patience.
That.
No patience. Like, Adrian, staying on his point, he won't even drive an hour and 20 minutes to Phillip Island. He gets a helicopter down there because he doesn't want to sit in the car for an hour and 20 minutes. Wild.
If Adrian has to call someone and it's like, press 1, press 2 first, he can't do it. He immediately hangs up.
Wow.
I've watched him do it. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Different brain. So we both think, yes, definitely should stay.
That was a weave.
Phillip Island. Yes.
That really got us going. Honda, for me, will be the fastest bike in 2027 of the new regs.
Wow. So you really think that it's going to change things that much?
Yes.
So,
Pirelli tires is one thing. That's huge.
Pirelli's 850s, aero, probably reduced. Not as reduced as much as what we thought was going
no
to.
No ride height device.
Mm. Well, that has been Ducati's difference. You know, that's been the big thing that has changed these aero and Reinhardt. Curtis, take it away.
Yeah, before Curtis says anything, I just want to say on what your point. Sorry, Curtis. I think it's going to come. Curdy. I think it's going to come back to bringing the rider in control. So you know how you're saying 70% bike, 30% rider,
50-50.
I think it'll flip. I think it'll flip.
Flip, again. Fully flip.
Yeah, but I still think Honda's going to be the best bike. Curtis.
For viewers who are only listening to this and not watching this, James is currently wearing a Repsol Honda jumper as well. So just to make sure biases are on the table right now.
I do love Honda. Thank you very much. But I I really do think Honda's known for when there's new regulations to come out of the starting blocks the best. A prime example is going to the four-stroke era. They can do it. They did it again when they went back to the 990s after the 2 years of debacle of the 800s. They were fast. They've got the checkbook to throw at it. Now, look, I could be so wrong, but you can just see the development they're already doing now. I think behind the scenes, they're probably already working on that bike, and I think it's gonna be a very, very, very good bike. I could be so wrong, but that's my prediction.
I'm really feeling it's gonna be a Marini versus Mir battle next year, and whoever comes out on top will be Pedro Acosta's teammate.
I like that.
To be the feeling in the paddock and the feeling in the base here at the Motorsport Republica headquarters.
I'd love to know what Honda's looking to throw at Pedro Acosta.
Yeah,
it'd be big money and a big contract.
Mm.
Why wouldn't you? What do you think, Tom? Do you think Honda's going to be the fastest, or do you think Ducati is going to keep their dominance?
Yeah, I think I still think Ducati will keep its dominance. Oh, no, not dominance. I still think Ducati will be the winning manufacturer, especially still if Marquez is on
there. I get it if Marquez is still on there. Yeah. Like, I get it. But it doesn't mean it's the best bike.
We all know that, you know, Bagnaia has to have the red carpet laid out for him and have the most perfect bike that's going to fit his needs to do anything on it.
And be fucked on a Pirelli tyres then.
Oh, yeah. He'd be like Tony Arbolito. Like, he's gone from nearly winning a championship to being 14th, 15th just because of the tyres. I mean, how long can you blame the tyres for?
Sepsi's foaming at the mouth right now.
Where did the family holiday instead of coming to Phillip Island? But that's funny. He sent us
a message about merch or something like that. I can't remember where it was. And it's like, he was trying to buy Lenovo Ducati gear. And he's like, only fits peanuts. It's so tiny.
Yeah, it is.
I was pissing myself.
Euro size. The one thing it wasn't tiny in Sepang was their merch, the Sepang track merch. It was like I was like a large. It was unbelievable.
I felt amazing.
Normally it's the opposite. The Asians, if a little bloody Malaysian man walked into there, he would have to get like extra, extra small. Telling you, it was our biggest sizes ever.
Maybe they're trying to make us like the Westerners feel good.
I think they were. Well, they did well.
That's smart because they got money out of your cold dead hands.
All right. So there was a massive incident in Moto3 in Sepang. Obviously, Noah Detwiller and Jose Rueda. They both seemed like obviously Noah looked really scary there when he had some reports that he actually had his heart stopped a couple of times and had cardiac arrest. But he seems to be on the road to recovery. Who knows if he'll ever ride again, but he's alive, and that's the main thing. But James, my question to you is, should we bring back Moto2 and Moto3 warm-up?
100%. Yeah, definitely. I think even if it's a 10-minute session, just get him out for 10 minutes just to throw a leg over the bike, just to be accustomed to the bike for the day, for the conditions, just to get a little bit of just dust off.
Yeah, I think with Noah's incident, I really feel like he was having issues with the bike and he was on the outside of that turn three coming down the hill. He had a little bit of pace because it's so downhill there, but obviously something's wrong. Rueda's come out, probably a little bit of a blind spot, and then all hell's broke loose.
Mm.
So yeah, I think for 10 minutes, I mean, can't they move things around? It's a 10-minute session.
10 minutes. Start the day a little bit earlier. Two 10-minute sessions for Moto3, Moto2. The day goes a little bit longer, that's fine. It's still for safety. Like, don't worry about the TV ratings. Yeah. Like, just you got to get those boys out.
Yeah, it's all about the rider parade. And I think, I mean, I'm sure every MotoGP rider will say, look, we're happy not to go on a parade if those kids get, you know, a bit of a warm-up to make sure the bike's running properly, you know?
Start the warm-up earlier, get the parade later, whatever it is.
Mm.
Just, it's, you. No one cares about the rider parade if safety is compromised for the 17-year-old kids racing around.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They're so young, man. Like, it was a horrific that. And we spoke about it a little bit last week, but just being there, sitting down, not seeing a replay, not knowing what the hell was going on.
It was very eerie.
Hearing the helicopter start, talking to people next to us going, geez, this feels like Simoncelli 14 years ago. I mean, that was scared the shit out of us. And
very
thank
eerie.
God, you know, they're both not okay. I mean, they're not okay, but they're both alive. I mean, that's the main thing.
100%. Well, scary. So, very scary. And I think it can be prevented. Definitely can be prevented. And a warm-up will do that. It's the whole point of a warm-up. Come on. What are we doing?
Warming the bikes up, yeah.
Warming the brain up. Despite what people are saying, I still think the racing is still good to watch.
Yeah, we spoke about this briefly over the last couple of weeks with people around dinner tables and stuff.
Yeah, we have actually.
It's funny. For me, MotoGP Formula One this year has not been as exciting as last year. And I'm trying to figure out where that's come from. But I see where you're coming from, because when Marquez is leading a race and leading it by significant, it's still so much more exciting than what Bagnaia was doing the same thing. Not to jump on Bagnaia's back and punch him in the face
while he's down
for the fourth or fifth time I've done tonight.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big Bagnaia fan. but for me, it's still gripping. I still want to watch it every week. MotoGP is far more exciting than Formula One.
Yes, and I think because MotoGP, they're so on the edge. And it's funny, right? Because we yell and jump up and down and complain about tire pressures. And Bruno, it was so exciting when Marquez had to go back behind Pedro Acosta, fix his tire pressures, and then go back past him like he was on easy mode on PlayStation. I was like, oh my God, this is still so crazy. We're all getting angry about it, but it's how exciting is it at the same time? So
it made that race actually, because it wasn't going to be that much more exciting other than that.
That's right. And there's been a few snoozers. It always is going to be snoozers. Marquez crashing out of Coda when we all thought he was going to win. Like yes, the show does revolve around him because he's always on the knife's edge. But then, you know, Alex Marquez coming through, Fermín Aldeguer coming through, Raúl Fernández being fast, Bezzecchi coming out of nowhere. Like, the racing has been amazing. Honda coming through again. Shout out to Honda, Curtie. But, like, it's still so exciting to watch, and it's not boring. Formula One, on the other hand, is a fucking snooze fest at the moment. And they've got they've got 1 point between each other in the championship. Wow. And it's putting needles in my eyes is more exciting than that. So, like, I don't believe in the hype of saying it's boring, because it's not. Maybe you're not a Marquez fan, completely understand.
And there'd be a lot of them. There would be still a lot of them.
Yeah. Going on to a little bit of a weave. I've never seen more Marquez fans in my life at Phillip Island or in Sepang. There was fucking heaps.
It's the whole thing's changed. I mean, people are still walking around in Marquez gear when he's not racing. That's when you know they're big. Like, there's massive fan base now.
But I still think the racing is really exciting. You're probably lacking those one-on-one battles, you know, like we had kind of in Mugello for the first seven laps between Bagnaia and Marquez.
That's a thing that has been modern day MotoGP though, because growing up watching it between, like, rewatching Phillip Island races over the years, there has been some really good battles for the lead, you know, and passing in places where they just can't pass now. Like, you see a pass up the inside of a really tight corner, you're like, oh my God, but that was just the norm back, you know, even 5 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, their bikes are just so much wider now. I mean, that's been the big difference with the aero.
Yeah, but they're still passing. I'm not buying into it that it's not exciting, because it still is. And if it wasn't exciting, we wouldn't be doing a podcast.
Correct. And yeah, exactly right. It's funny though, when we when there are really exciting races, we get more views.
Yeah, we do. We need it to be more exciting.
Because when we it's a really boring race, people are like, oh, I don't even give a shit about that race. It was so boring. I'm not gonna watch anything else about it. So so yeah, we want excited. But I think next year will be really, really exciting to see what happens. Because, you know, you've got all these manufacturers gonna be up there, besides probably Yamaha. And it goes to, well, that's a Ducati track, that's a Aprilia track, that's a KTM track. I mean, it's going back to the days it's like that. So
a little bit, 100%.
Because obviously Sepang just was not an Aprilia track, you know.
Yeah,
but then obviously you looked at Phillip Island, which is like smack on. Raúl Fernández wins the race, Bezzecchi wins a sprint, probably should have won the main race, both on Aprilia. So that's exciting. I like that, and it's going back exciting. To like Ty Ward's days where you know, the Michelin, the Bridgestone. Yeah. So
bro, could not agree more, and I just think racing does evolve, and it's always going to change, but it's still in its core exciting. And it's also exciting because it's fucking dangerous.
Yes.
And you can really hurt yourself.
Well, we saw that in more, you know.
And how many ways have we seen that with Jorge Martin this year? Like, and imagine how much more exciting it would have been with him in there. Mm. And it's exciting because we are watching development of bikes and development of riders right before our eyes in a season. You never see that.
No, you're right.
You never see someone at the start of the year absolutely nowhere on a factory Aprilia to now being probably the second best rider on the grid, or someone like, again, Curtie, I'm going to say it again, Honda, who have just come out of the clouds and just developing a bike and now got two podiums in like three races.
Yeah.
Four races.
Mm.
T-Shavs, I'm rolling around in a bit of a stinky car at the moment. How can you help me?
Doesn't surprise me, mate. Doesn't surprise me. James, I have the product for you, my friend. We have Motorsport Republica air fresheners. All your favorite drivers and riders.
Phil Marquez, Rossi, Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri.
All the famous ones we have. We've also got t-shirts in stock. So if you want to go run in your Motorsport Republica t-shirt, James, you're more than welcome to.
Can I sink beers in it?
You can do anything you want with it.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
So jump on to motorsportrepublica.com.au. And guys, it supports us. It supports the pod. And we really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We'll go into some more opinions in Patreon up next. But let's talk about some hot takes, Jimmy boy.
hot takes. What do we got, big dog? Shout out to everyone. Thank you for putting them in. We'll also have some hot takes in our extra chats as well. At @type1driver_we_run_shit. There's a
shit
name.
In the name.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm
going to report that.
Do we expect lap times to initially drop after the new rules in 2027 and then slowly improve as riders get used to the new bikes and like no ride height devices, etc.?
Oh, I think, they're going to be slower. I don't think they're ever going to get back to the times we're going to get next year or even this year. But it's interesting. You look at going back to the 800cc's, they dropped initially top speed. And then the engineers figure out a way how to get past that. And then they're the fastest bikes on the straight ever.
Yeah.
So it's engineers more than riders probably will discover more more ways to get speed out of this and that. I don't think the 850s is going to make a massive difference to speed and things. It's going to be more the ride height devices for lap times and stuff.
Tires,
yes. Pirelli tires. We haven't. That's probably one of the biggest
things. So everyone keeps forgetting. Tires. Tire talk. TT. Tire talk. That's what Ollaman TT stands for, Kerry. Ollaman tire talk.
Imagine that. 2 weeks of that. All right.
2 weeks.
Two weeks of drinking and talking about tires.
That was us for the past two weeks.
Sounds like heaven.
Yes. The engineers are going to find a way to make those bikes incredibly fast again. It just always happens. It happens every single time in like a Formula One or MotoGP. It's just how it is.
Yep. It always is. They'll think of something else to get the lap time. They always do.
Yeah, yeah. But I really do think tyres is going to make that because just through corners, if it's like a prime example is the Women's World Championship. They run, I could be getting this so wrong now, but I think they run Dunlops and everyone hates it. They do lap times 3 or 4 seconds slower on their R7s than what they were doing like a Pirelli. And it's just because they're running a Dunlop. So that's how much it changes. And now I could be wrong with that, but it's something with an R7 Dunlops anyway.
I was reading something today, which was really interesting that in a lot of their contracts, the MotoGP guys, they're not allowed to bag Michelin at all. They're not allowed to say anything bad about them in the media.
I know, it's bullshit, isn't it?
It's, it's crazy.
Doesn't that show you how big Rossi is that he can change tyres halfway through a season? That's the ultimate betrayal. That's the ultimate bagging someone.
Yeah.
That's like leaving your missus for their sister halfway through your marriage. I'm looking at you, Tom. I'm looking at you.
God, no.
Living in Thornbury, bruh. At Suddy289, let's move on. If Piastri comes second, does he move teams to give the middle finger to McLaren's clear British preference?
Oh, dude, I missed that whole question. Sorry, can you repeat? You have me startled.
If Piastri comes second, does he move teams to give the middle finger to McLaren's clear British preference?
Oh, I don't know. Is it really that clear? I'm not 100% sure. I mean, a lot of Aussies are getting on that bandwagon. There's talk of Leclerc and Piastri swap, but you're going to get the same rubbish you're going to get in Ferrari than you will at McLaren. It's all the same. So, yes, I mean, let's be honest. McLaren want to see Lando win 100%, but there hasn't been any clear advantage that I've seen.
I like that answer. Mm. Non-biased answer. At Seto 120. In the next 5 years, can you see any new MotoGP champions? And I like this question.
Great question.
Great fucking question.
Yeah, it's a great question. For me, Pedro Acosta. I mean, that's got to be That's got to be on the cards. Diego Moreira, how good is
he? Bro, you've picked the two names out of my brain.
And then David Alonso coming in the MotoGP. Is this kid a once in a decade, once in a century talent?
So you're going to say those three boys are going to take at least three titles away from Marc Marquez the next 5 years?
Well, Marquez, do we really see him around for five more years?
Yes.
You said he was retiring after
10.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's going to be 44.
Yeah.
Rossi style. Amazing. Yeah, I don't know. Well, you're also saying that the Honda's going to dominate in 2027. That was your words. Mark my words, dominate.
Dominating.
So Pedro Acosta going into that bike, as we have called that from the start. Then we'll see Pedro Acosta win the 2027 World Championship.
The mass is massing right now.
Yeah. Well, crystal balls might be coming back out again. But you beat me to that. It's your crystal ball this time.
What did I say again?
Pedro Acosta. Honda. Honda dominating in 27.
Fuck, we're retarded sometimes, aren't we? Actually, I haven't noted this one, but I'm going to read it now. The autism.
How does that happen?
How we always talk about how autistic we are? How many people did we come up to us say like how autistic they are to MotoGP? Like, yeah. It's like coming a thing.
It's good. I love it. But all people who are major fans of something got the autism because it's hyperfixation. Look at the cheer squads in an AFL game.
Bro, they're cross-eyed.
Yeah,
that's how autistic they are. They're cross-eyed.
That's the pinnacle right there because you're so fanatical about something. So,
but they can't look you in the eye when they talk to you about it.
Not many people can these days because the bloody Panadol and shit.
_ Derek Hall. Aguirre will be gone at the end of his contract. Aprilia won't want another rail situation.
Oh, well, that's harsh, man. He's been injured half the year. Jesus Christ.
Tom, I like your answer.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to jump on that.
No,
so I read it.
No, that's really harsh. That kid finished fifth in his first race at Murium. It was an amazing result. He's got talent. You know, he's got real talent. So you can't teach that. First race, he comes out and finishes fifth. That's incredible.
At Victor.Carluck. Bulliger to beat Bagnaia.
Nah. No way.
Not happening.
Nah.
Not happening.
No way. And again...
Piro got close in Phillip Island, though.
I know. But Portimao and Valencia will suit him much more than Phillip Island.
You think so?
Portimao is a ballsy circuit, though.
Fuck yeah.
That's why. You know what, James? I'm going to say probably my second favorite track on the calendar.
Bulliger knows Portimao.
Yeah, okay.
They race there.
Yeah, I love that track. I love it.
I don't rate it.
Yeah, I know. I just love them coming over the rise.
The rise is good.
They do it twice.
Yeah. They go up, then back.
Yeah, do a big hairpin turn in the middle. It's amazing. You should see it.
There's a thing Tom and I do. We like lie through our teeth.
Yeah.
So people that don't know the subject.
Yeah, if we're talking to someone, right, they'll be like,
And it will just go along
they're
with
like,
it.
Yeah. Happy.
It's a really bad trait that we have. Yeah, we've done in our whole lives.
It's terrible.
I've lost relationships over doing that.
Okay, I'll move on.
At Sean_Cody_. Ducati won't replace Pecco with Aldeguer or... Ducati won't replace Pecco with Aldeguer or any non-Italian rider. Bez 2027 if Pecco is still ass. Ducati don't give a fuck. They just want to see someone win and Marc Marquez is proving that. They've never cared. They've never cared about... I'm sure they would want an Italian, but I don't think it matters.
Nah, it's not like VR46.
Not that type of La Familia. Nah, it's La Familia if you're fast. Yeah, if you're not fast, then you're out.
You're out, yeah. It's as simple as that.
It's not a nationality thing.
Nah, they'll be happy with two Spaniards.
Fuck yeah. If both Spaniards are 1-2,
Have they ever had two non-Italians in the team? I'm trying to think Stoney is. Because Marco Melandri. Yeah,
Casey Stoner and Nicky Hayden.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, there you go.
An Aussie and American on a Ducati. It's pretty cool.
Well, Aussies have had such great... You know, history with Ducati, haven't they?
Yeah, no, they definitely have. Next, Sparks_Leon. Who will win the race not to enter MotoGP? Kawasaki or BMW? Wish Kawasaki would give it a try. I'll answer that. Kawasaki will never enter MotoGP ever again. Yeah, BMW is a lot more likely.
Yeah, I don't see Kawasaki coming back. It's interesting with BMW because it looks like... there was an article out with obviously Hervé Poncial, who sold Tech 3 to what's his name, James?
Gunter Steiner.
But then KTM are also sounding the horn going, well, we're not guaranteed to have our bikes either. So Is he going to be looking for a new manufacturer? Who knows where that's going to go? Only time will tell.
What's the goal of that?
Well, yeah, they're just saying KTM are going, well, there's no guarantee that they'll have KTM bikes, you know, and you should, you know, now I don't know the exact, how true of this,
I don't read too much into
it. Yeah, I don't read huge amount into it, but it, you know, story's got to come from somewhere, you know?
Mm.
So KTM, oh, definitely next year they're going to have KTMs, but going forward to the new regs, who knows?
Again, Sparks underscore Leon, he does some good ones, this fella. Deep down, and Sparks on Leon, you've got someone on our Patreon as well, so if you haven't signed up, you'll be on our Patreon. Deep down, how annoyed is 54 that, so Top Rack, that Bulliger is debuting before him? Bulliger liked a meme about it. Lol.
Right. Yeah, it's a big rivalry between those two, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I don't think Top Rack would really care. I think Top Rack would care he's on a Yamaha, not a Ducati.
I think it's such a great thing they've done because, look, Pirro's Pirro. He's had his day. He's a test rider. And
he's done awesome, bro. Miguelio Pirro should be in the Ducati Hall of Fame.
Yeah, has done amazing things for Ducati. Stayed on the bike. Didn't crash. Done great things. But for Bulliger, I mean, that's really exciting coming into Portimao. Like, that's something that I'm super excited to see. Practice one, him out there. What can he do? Don't see him beating Bagnaia, but, you know, I think beating Chantra might be on the cards.
Curdy could beat Chantra.
It's actually a really good test. Like, I think Top Rack will be glued to that screen going, what can he do?
Mm.
You know, if he's up there in a top 10 position, dude, that's game on for Raz next year, you know?
Yeah, but he's on Yamaha, remember? Yamaha, nowhere.
Yeah, 70%, 70%.
You know what I like about Ducati, though? They've got their top dog world superbike rider, and he's now the test rider for MotoGP.
Mm.
Perfect.
Yeah.
How good's that?
Yep.
That's what you want. And that's why I really like Ducati. They just set things up so nicely.
Not as good as Honda, though.
Oh, man, I might have a Honda tattoo somewhere sneakily on me. At Dun underscore fun. Now, tell me if this is an Italian man. There is a rat in the Ducati camp sabotaging Pecco's bike. 2027, the truth will come out.
Why 27? Why not next year?
Gotta wait 2 years, bruh.
It's the same as like McLaren. They're saying, oh, they've done something to Oscar's car. I mean, they haven't. They're not in the history of motorsport. I'm sure there's been an occasion where that's happened, but modern day MotoGP, modern day Formula One, no, it's nothing's happened like that.
I love reading those ones out. Mate, we went through Ducati pits. Did you smell a rat in there?
No, they're working their asses off. The other thing is, they're not going to do it again while Marquez is out as well. Like, why would they sabotage?
Yeah. You'd think they would give him like the extra power.
Yeah. No, they sabotaged Philip Isle. That's why he was second last. I mean, that's crazy. But for me, yes, I'm going to say that they probably worked harder behind Marquez because he won so many races. Of course, they're going to go to the guy who's going to be winning them races.
Oh, you could see that when they're huddling around.
When they're around the boardroom, they're not going to go, oh my God, how can we make Bagnaia better? They're going to be saying, how do we get Mark better? How do we get him winning more races?
But then GG still had a lot of focus around Bags and his import, but Bags, as I said, couldn't ride around the issues.
Yeah.
But apparently there's a rat. Yashvard Han 1246, racing is better without Mark Marquez.
Yeah, interesting. Again, probably not a Marquez fan. I think Marquez still adds so much to the weekend, you know.
I think it does. The only good thing about it is you don't know who's going to win that weekend. I do like that. Chrissy McCarthy, what do you think of Kelso saying that the politics being the reason he isn't going to Moto2?
Well, we had that conversation with Joel as well, and it's true. I mean, the guy's top five in the championship. Probably should have won two races this year. Got knocked out on the last corner on two occasions. He's got the body for a Moto2 bike. He's a bit bigger and stockier than half the field. There's politics all around. There's a reason why Diego Moreira is in MotoGP. They wanted a Brazilian there. We all know that.
Bring sponsors, especially from a Moto3 to Moto2. Like, sponsors is a huge thing, and yeah, there's definitely politics involved, obviously.
We just need to get big business in Australia behind these young guys. Like, we need, like, you know, Caterpillar sponsor Miller and, you know, Lynn Fox or something like that. We need some of these big guys to back these younger riders, you know. It's good.
We need an Aussie Paolo Campinotti.
We do, yes. It could be
big
us.
Big dog.
It could be us.
Yeah, it could be you, bro. Yeah. You're a fucking Aussie Paolo.
Get the fucking chain going.
Yeah.
The chain and the tan.
You got the tan.
I got the tan and the chain, yeah.
Pewee_89. How does Marrera do in his first season of MotoGP?
Yeah, I think really well. I think he's going to be an outstanding talent. I really think he's got the X factor.
Yeah, I think so. I think, and he's going on to a Honda, Curdy, and I think he's going to do very well on that bike. Now, am I going to say he's going to be winning races? Probably not, but I think he is going to be top eight.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting for our preview show for next year, where we're going to put him. That's the big question,
isn't it?
Because, like, you know, for me, I had Aigura Rookie of the Year by a long stretch, and then Furman's come out and had an amazing year, so... Yeah, that was my big mistake.
I think the only ones that we got right was Mark winning and Chantra last.
Now, before we go, I want to ask, what do you think this weekend?
Bro, I was going to ask you the same question. This is the reason why it is good that there's no Mark Marquez, because I've got no fucking clue.
Yeah.
If anything, I think it's going to be in the Aprilia track. I think someone like a Bez is going to win.
Interesting.
I think Aprilia is going to be out there. It's a real mix. Jorge Martin. Yeah, I think he's out for the rest of the year.
They haven't.
Or maybe it was just Portimão.
Just Portimão. Yeah, they haven't. Yeah, it'd be great for him to come back to Valencia and test 25 versus 26. Obviously, yeah. I think much the same. I think it's more of a Ducati track personally. Still stop and start.
Is it?
Yeah, still stop and start.
That's pretty flowy.
Nah, turn two, turn fours, heavy braking. And then a real tight section, and then real flowing in that last corner. So it's a mixture. It's like it's probably a bit like Sepang.
You know what? This could be a track for Pedro Acosta to get his first win. Do you think Pedro Acosta is going to get a win in the next two rounds?
No. But top four.
Yeah, top four. Yeah. Easy top four.
Top four.
I think if Pedro Acosta isn't podium now, it's a, I wouldn't say fail of a weekend, but it's not up to expectations and definitely his expectations. What do you think is going to happen this round?
Yeah, I think Alex Marquez has a really good shot.
Bags?
I think Bags is going to be better. He's not going to be last. I just don't see him last or second last or anything like crazy like that.
He should have done the treble.
He really doesn't. He either wins or he finishes last, so you like can't really put him fifth or sixth.
That's impossible.
I kind of reckon that's where he'll be. Yeah. And then, yeah, Valencia always throws up a crazy result because it's like a little go-kart track. Raul Fernandez's favorite track, James. That was the biggest craziness that I've ever heard all weekend last week, 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, I think still Ducati. I think Pedro up there. Don't see Aprilia doing much in Portimão, but I might be wrong.
You know what? I'm going to put Pedro Acosta down for his first win, Portimão.
Beautiful.
I think he's going to do it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Jump over to Patreon for extra chats.
Let's do it. Thanks, guys.